The Gospel according to John chapter 2 verses 1 to 11. I'm not going to waste time dealing with the skeptics concerning this miracle, which is the first of John's significant signs. But it is only weeks. I've spoken about him before recently, only weeks since George Docherty, who left the North Church Aberdeen to be the minister to the President of the United States, is now retired now in St. Andrews, only weeks since George Docherty sat in my house and scorned this miracle. And I want to read to you what Leslie Weatherhead, how many remember that name? What Leslie Weatherhead once wrote about this miracle. He, you remember, was the famous psychologist preacher of the City Temple in London, to whom people flocked in his day. Jimmy, I heard him in London during the Second World War. Along with Jack Weir, we were at the IVF conference and in Cambridge, and we stole away from the conference on the Sunday to hear Weatherhead in the morning and Martin Lloyd-Jones at night. And that was rather different, of course. Weatherhead was, I believe, a native of Dundee. Anyway, this is how he imagines the scene at the wedding in Cana. And I don't mind if you laugh. The wine runs out. Water is served. Why? That's the best joke of all. They lift up their wine cups, as we do in fun when we shout, "Adam's ale is the best of all." The bridegroom is congratulated by the master of ceremonies, who carries the joke farther still. "Why," he says, "you've kept the best wine until now." "It requires," says Weatherhead, "only a servant going through the room into the kitchen for a wonderful rumor to start." Fiction stranger than truth. And if you will allow me to say so reverently, in that view, the chief clown at that wedding would have been our blessed Lord. What do you think of that? How awful. This is the test I would apply to various modern antics in the name of Jesus, like something I saw recently, a wild rock band's singing of Jesus on television recently. Could you imagine the Lord Jesus in the midst of that cacophonous din? I couldn't. I couldn't. He would be too hugely embarrassed to know what to do. I think he would be almost inclined to take out his whip. Don't you? Because, you see, the actual scene here is so natural. Supernatural, of course. But is there a tension? Is there a tension between natural and supernatural, eh? Is there? Why should there be? We keep saying in Hebrews, which we are studying on Sunday evenings, especially in the 11th chapter, that it was the invisible that created the visible. Where should there be a tension between the natural and the supernatural? I say the scene is so natural. Cana is just, there were a few Canas, but I think I've got the right one. Cana is just a few miles up the road toward Tiberias from Nazareth. And it's interesting, you know, that Jesus and his disciples had been invited to the wedding. That would have been, of course, we're only in John chapter 2, that would have been early in his mission, probably before he had stirred very much opposition to himself by what he said or did. Or is it possible that the large attendance, I think I suggested this during the reading or to the children, is it possible that the large attendance at the wedding had something to do with Jesus and his disciples being there? Was he already to some famous or infamous, notorious? And what had Jesus' mother to do with the wedding? Was her remark just a passing remark to him about the having run out of wine? Do you think so? Surely not. Surely not. But what did she expect of her son? You see, what we read here runs almost counter to all that we know of Mary and her grown son, whatever happened when he was a boy in the home. If Joseph was already dead, and Jesus, as the eldest of the family, was the breadwinner, she might well have turned to him to see what he would do. But it's difficult not to see some significance deeper than casual about the remark she made to him on the lack of wine. Is she almost inviting him to perform a miracle, do you think? Well, we can hardly say that, perhaps. But there must have been some significance about her remark, "They have no wine." Why did she tell him? But then, you see, the cryptic nature of so much in the biblical records inclines us often to ask many questions, and we are told to ask questions. If you want to understand the scriptures, ask questions of them. You see. But there could be a danger that we ask too many questions and are too inquisitive about things that the Lord has not revealed to us. We must be careful and not spend too long speculating on what we don't know. But what does Jesus mean by responding to his mother by saying, as the NIV puts it, "Dear woman, why involve me? My time is not yet come." Now, some of the scholars suggest that he was telling her that things were not now as they had been in the Nazareth home. He was now intent on his father's business, following his baptism and his temptation. But she obviously trusted him implicitly and believed she still had some influence on him. Else she would not have said to the servants, would she, "Do whatever he says"? It sounds, you see, as if she expected him to do something, and something remarkable. Where was he going to find more wine? What could she have had in mind? Never mind him for a moment. What could she have had in mind? You see, I think it's almost uncanny that she should say what she did, you see. "They have no wine." And it seems to me that it's almost the perfect introduction to something extraordinary. "Come on, son, what are you going to do in this situation?" Would you agree? So to the water pots, huge vessels, whether we agree with the measurement given in the NIV or not, we're not going to argue with that, but huge water pots from which the guests washed their hands ceremonially, even if they weren't dirty hands, they had to be washed ceremonially before eating. That was according to their law. So Jesus asked the servants to fill them with water, which would seem to imply that they had to be emptied first of not very clean water from the washing of many hands. Wouldn't you think? And then refilled with clean water? Of course, if he changed the water into wine, I suppose it wouldn't matter whether it was clean water or dirty water, but there it is. You can have it any way you like. And that was all. That was all. And then the command to pour out and take it to the master of ceremonies for him to taste the wine. And he, as we read, not knowing what had taken place, found that this wine was better than what had previously been provided. And so he remarked on it. And you see, it all has the mark of sheer, don't you think so? The mark of sheer authenticity and truth. I remember, if I may recall this, I remember the last time George Doherty came to see me before he left Aberdeen, and we argued then. And I said something very plain to him. He says, if you weren't Willie Still, I'd hit you. Well, I said, hit me all the same, if you like. But this time I felt a little bit like hitting him. Well, but anyway, I think the incident has the mark of sheer authenticity and truth. He complimenting the bridegroom on the quality of the new wine. Wonderful. And that's the whole story. Except that the disciples were there, and seeing what was done, took knowledge of this beginning of 3 glorious years of miraculous and wonderful work. Now, as a miracle, of course, what Jesus did is wonderful in itself. But perhaps only because we tend to see Jesus principally as a man. Well, he was a man, but he was more than that. Of course, we own, we believers, that he is God's eternal Son. But as a man, we tend to say, is he not limited? Well, to what extent was he limited in his mortal life? He certainly influenced events at a distance, like the healing of the centurion's servant. And he had marvelous power over the stormy waves of the Sea of Galilee. I believe that there was nothing that our Lord Jesus wanted to do, however great, that he was not capable of doing, or as I would rather put it, that he was not capable of seeing done by faith in his Father. He lived his life on earth, I believe, every moment by faith in his Father, and never performed any miracle directly at all.